Well, good morning. Appreciate everybody being out in the house of the Lord this morning. And boy, it's beautiful outside, isn't it? I love it. Well, Psalm 23. Appreciate everybody being here and thankful for the visitors that we see, and those of you that are faithful, I appreciate that on a regular basis.
Yes,
amen. It's an encouragement to know who to expect to see when you come to the house of God. So, I appreciate those of you that are faithful. And we've been looking at this psalm for quite some time now, and just mainly using it as a springboard to teach all kinds of different things in the Scripture. All of it's related anyway. We'll just read the 23rd Psalm again. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. So I appreciate the word of God, and we've been looking here at verse 4 for a number of Sundays, and all these different things that we've looked at through the verse, and we've come down to the last part that I've called the affirmation that we have, and that we find in that last phrase. I'll read this verse again. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." And this is what we're dealing with today. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so we come down, as we've said, in my mind, this verse would be the climax of the passage. This is where David, you know, the shift changes. He's no longer talking in third person, talking to everybody else about the Lord, but at this point he's talking to the Lord.
Right.
And just what a blessed time that, you know, we can just experience that sweet intimacy with the Lord.
Yes,
just
sir.
I mean, Brother Kevin, it's a blessing that me and you can talk about the Lord. It's a blessing that at my home we can gather around the Bible and around prayer, and at night we can talk about the Lord. But there's nothing like being able to talk to the Lord.
That's right.
And that's what happens right here in verse number 4. You see, you notice he goes from he and the Lord, and we get to this part. And he says, "For thou art with me." And he says, "Thy rod and staff." What he's saying, Jesse, I'm talking directly to you, Lord. I recognize in the hardest part of my life, in the shadow of death, I'm living in the valley right now. He says, in the worst of the worst times, Lord, I need an intimate, close fellowship, relationship with the Lord. He recognizes it, and I'm thankful that we see he experiences it. And he's coming to this point, and he's experiencing the accompaniment of God through his valley. And he's experiencing his affirmation that everything's going to be okay because there's a rod and there's a staff that's comforting him. And so last week we started dealing with this rod. I don't even know how to tie it all together, really. I told you I'm so scattered here, but we looked at the rod of the sun last week and how that we find a developing purpose in the sense that it wasn't in the sun's hands yet, but while it wasn't in his hands, it was growing in the ground somewhere, and then it was under development. And then we saw the shepherd's rod and how that it's a defense to the predators. And we got to the servant's rod that distinguishes amongst persons. See, there's a difference in just being a normal person and being a true servant of God.
Amen.
And we saw that in the life of Moses and in the life of Aaron. And all these things Everything we read about the rod in Scripture, it's all typifying. It's all an example. It's all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everything we read about it that I find just points us right to Him and the work that Christ has done. And so today what we're going to pick up with is the soldier's rod. And you see what you find in the life of Moses, that there was a time that he didn't really have anything to do with God. He was in the house of Pharaoh. And all of a sudden God spoke to him. If you remember, he left the house of Pharaoh. He got out there, and we read all this last week. He got out there on the backside of the desert. He was a shepherd, and the Lord started speaking to him. And he had a talk with the Lord, and before you know it, he had made him a servant. I mean, almost in a moment. We see just a change in the life of Moses from being a shepherd to being a servant. And his life from that point forward was wholly given over to the service of God. Does that mean that everything in his life was perfect? Everything was right? No. He made some mistakes, and because of them, he didn't get to go into the promised land. But he was a good man. He's a special man. He has a special place in eternity. And if you remember, there was two men that stood there at the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus. Guess who one of them was? Moses. He's special. Don't you find it interesting that on this side, he didn't get to go into the promised land, but on that side, he gets to get into the presence of the Lord Jesus?
Oh, yes.
Hey, there's some things in this life, and there's some things that we may mess up. We may make a mess at times, and we may lose out on some blessings. But God has an eternal purpose, and we have an eternal presence in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's coming one day. So if you're a servant here today, or if you're not a servant, you can be. And if you are a servant, what I'm trying to tell you is just keep on pressing on.
Yep.
You may mess some things up. You may lose out on just a few things here or there because of those mess ups. I mean, that's part of it. We reap what we sow. There's just some things that happen when we mess up. I don't know why I'm saying I didn't have any of this thought out. But if you're here today and you've messed up, it's okay. Paul said, quit looking at the things that are behind, press forward. Just go on for God.
Yeah.
Serve Him, because there was a day when Moses, you think about that, Moses lost out on what he had worked for, Brother Jesse, for years. He lost out on all he did was get to go up there to the top of the mountain, look over and look at it. That's all he could do. But he didn't get to go in because he disobeyed the Lord. But folks, I'm glad it didn't stop there.
That's right.
So anyway, we have the rod of the servant is where we finished up last week, and today we're going to pick up with the rod of the soldier. And so what I started to go to is that in the life of the servants of the Lord, what you see is it's a progression. They become a servant, and any time you find somebody in Scripture that chooses to serve the Lord, guess what comes? There's battles that come.
Yes.
Because of it. Moses went down there. He agreed to do what God told him to do. He went down there to Pharaoh's house and said, let my people go. And guess what happened immediately? There was a battle. The battle began. And so we'll pick up right there. We'll look at Exodus 14. That's where we'll start. So hopefully you're familiar that, you know, Moses goes down there and we see all the plagues there that occur in Egypt. Finally, Pharaoh says, let them go. That's fine. Just get out of here. After the last plague, the firstborn dies. But after they get on their way, God hardens his heart once again. And so here the Egyptians come pursuing them. Brother Jesse, and they come to this place, this Red Sea, and they don't know what to do. They're at a place, Brother Matt, they can't go no farther. But up to this point, realize Moses is the servant of God, and he's doing what God has told him to do. But it seems like he's come to a place now where he can't go any farther. And the people around him are frantic because of it. So we come to chapter 14 of the book of Exodus and start reading in verse number 10. It says, "And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." What a statement. They said we would have rather died in service to Egypt than to die fighting for our freedom and in service to the Lord Jesus. But it says there in verse number 13, it says, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians, for whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever." Verse 14, he says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Amen. So I think it honestly, this story just amazes me when you read it and you see these people, Kevin, with so little faith. You have one man that's standing, and he's standing in the gap for them, and he's trying his best to calm their nerves. And I don't even know if at this point that he knows what God's going to do. But he says, "The Lord's told me to do this, and at this point in my life, all I know is every time I've trusted Him before, He's come through, and I'm planning that and expecting that He's going to come through again." And so he just says, "Stand still." You know, that's a good thing to do. When you're walking and you come to a point where you can't walk no farther, you just stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Just trust Him. And so he says, "The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall not hold your peace." Or, "Ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward."
Yes, sir.
He said, "Why are you stopping?" Brother Kevin, I think if they would have just trusted the Lord and just kept walking, and if they'd have stepped on out into the sea, you know what I think would have happened?
Guaranteed.
It would have just spread apart. We wouldn't have had the rest of the story. They'd have just kept on trucking if they would have just trusted the Lord. But they stopped, and fear gripped their heart. And so, but we get the rest of the story. And so, he says, you know, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward." Verse 16, he says, "But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians," like he's already done many times, "and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." Sometimes when we're in the service of God, we just lack a little faith, and we have to know a little more from the Lord before we're willing to step forward. But there's times that He's not willing to do what He did this time. God does not always reveal His plan. I'm just saying that. Brother Kevin, there's times He just tells us to go, and we don't know how we're getting there. You remember Paul, when he was out on his journey, got on that ship, they was taking him to Rome. All he knew was he was getting there, didn't know how he was getting there, but in every situation that came, just trusted the Lord. He said, "All I know is I'm going from here, and I'm going there." And all Moses knew is he was coming out of there, and he was going where God had promised him. Didn't necessarily know how all that was going to happen. But God chose in this situation to reveal him some extra truth, give them some extra comfort. I'm thankful for that times like that. But it seems oftentimes in the life of believers, we don't know how He's going to do the things He's going to do. But we know He's got a plan. And so we need to just go from point A, go to point B, whether He reveals us anything else or not. As long as we can keep moving forward, we need to move forward. And so here what we see is that God told him, lift thou up thy rod, Brother Cliff. Lift up thy rod. And we know from the previous scripture last week, what rod is that? It's the rod of God. The rod of God. And so Moses does what he says, and we'll read the rest of that story later. But here, what we see is Moses is fighting using the tool that he already had in his hand, which was the rod. If you remember when God talked to him out of the bush, he said, what's that in your hand? It was a rod. He showed him what he could do with it. And all he did was take the tool that he already had that God had blessed, and he used it for God's glory. And he just lifted it up like God said. And so what happens is Moses had it right. When we, the servants of God, choose to put what we have in the hands of the Lord, what does God always do? He fights for us. That's all God requires us to do. You and I, we're no match for the enemy, folks. There ain't no sense in us acting like we are. Ain't no sense in acting like, I've got this. I've got it in control. John, we think that we can put ourselves in harm's way and survive without the Lord. It don't work. That's why there's times we have to flee.
Yes, sir.
Because we're not strong. Apart from the Lord fighting for us, we'll fall flat on our face.
You're right.
And so we just need to know that going into battles. We know that if we have to fight alone, we might as well turn around and go to the house.
You're right.
I don't want to fight the battles of the enemy that we have. I don't want to fight against him alone. In fact, I really don't even want to have to do the fighting. I just soon put it in the God's hands, just let him fight for me, and just trust him through it. And so that's what we see happens right here. Moses just chooses to trust the Lord. He goes from servant to soldier, and all God does is use what he already had in his hand to fight. And you notice who winds up doing the fighting. Moses is a soldier, but only because he's willing to take the orders of the captain. He lifts up the rod. That's what makes a good soldier, right? You follow the orders you're given. And folks, we've got a whole book here of orders that we've been given. We're told to endure hardness as a good soldier. It's on him. All we have to do is follow the orders. Me and you don't have to take it all on us. But yet so often that's what we do, ain't it? But we're to be good soldiers. And so this ain't the only time we see Moses fighting a battle and this rod showing up. Look at, just flip over a few pages in Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, what we have here is they've come against Amalek. And you all probably, some of you probably know this story very well, but we'll pick up the reading in verse number 8, Exodus 17 verse 8. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. He said, I've seen this thing work before. It's going to work again. He said, so Joshua did as Moses had said to him. And just by the way, before I go on any farther and not forget to tell you, we're talking about giants. Amalek. If you don't know that, read your Bible. You'll find out who they are. They're a scary people. And so Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, we know from the previous verse, what did he have in his hand? Had the rod of God in his hand. It says, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So what we have another victory, not because Moses had to fight. All he had to do was lift up his hands with the rod. And he couldn't even do that. He had to have some help.
Yep.
Folks, just be ready in this thing. We're going to have some help. We can't do it alone. You can't. I can't. There's only one that could. That's the Lord Jesus, and He did it all His own. And so we might as well just trust Him. And so what we find here is that you have a servant of God that is a soldier based on the fact he's learned to use the tools that God has given him to get in the battle and just follow the leaders. Follow the leader's command. And you and I can do the exact same thing. And so what I want to tell you today, in the hands of a soldier, what the rod does, it deploys protection. It brings protection. And so that's what we see every time. I'm thankful for it. But what I notice is, what position is that rod in both of these instances? It's raised up. It's raised up. And I can't help but understand that has some implications when we think on the side of the Lord Jesus. And the way that it typifies Him. And so you say, well, Jesus never fought any battles. Well, He fought the battle that you and I couldn't fight.
You're right.
And He fought it with His very life. And I didn't mark any of these scriptures, so you have to bear with me. But in Hebrews 2:2, just real quick, I'll read this one to you. I'll let you turn with me in just a second. I'm sorry, Hebrews 12:2. Looked at it wrong. 12:2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, He did what? He endured the cross, right? Endured it. Well, you know, we're told, Paul tells Timothy, he says, endure hardness as a good soldier, right? So Jesus was a soldier because He was able to endure some things. And he says, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So we know He was victorious, which we'll get to that in just a little bit. But so what we find is he endured some things for you and I. And you say, well, He didn't have much of a warfare on this earth. Well, His warfare was spiritual. Now, Jesus didn't have to do anything physical as far as to mankind. Now, if you remember, I said this a few weeks ago, when they came to Him in the Garden of Gethsemane to get Him, I mean, all He had to do was speak the word, and they just fell down. So there was no physical battle for the Lord Jesus to have to fight. Everything He came to do, it was a spiritual work. Now, because it was a spiritual work, it affects the physical. And because He does something on the inside, the outside's going to get fixed, and we're going to get resurrected, we'll get new bodies, all those things. But the primary warfare that He fought was a spiritual warfare. And I think we get the best glimpse of that when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where I find it. And we won't read all of them, but we'll read the passage in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verse number 41. So you know by this time, we come to this place and Jesus takes the disciples with Him, and the Bible teaches us He goes a little further and He begins to pray. And I'm thankful for a leader that goes a little further than his soldiers. I mean, there's just so many things here that we could think about and we could look at. I'm going to try to keep it as concise as possible. But as we come to verse 41, He says, and He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast. And we know that was a little further. And kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthened him. And it says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. So we know that Kevin preached on this just a while back. Folks, I have never been to this place of agony, this place of spiritual warfare. You see, all hell was coming against him at this point. And I can't even describe to you what was in his mind, because it's one thing to suffer and die not expecting it and not knowing what's coming. But Christ, at this point in his life, Brother Joe, it was very clear in his mind what he was about to suffer. And that for the first time in all eternity, he was going to take upon him the sins of the whole world.
Yes.
And he was going to feel that kind of weight that he had never felt before. And all for you and I. And then he was going to get on the cross, and guess what was going to happen? As he bore our sins in his own body, what was going to happen was the Father was going to turn his back on him. And he was going to, for the first time again in eternity, say, Lord, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For the first time, the Lord Jesus was going to be forsaken by his Father. And it's all because of the spiritual warfare that he was fighting for you and for me. And so you say Christ didn't fight much of a battle. I'd say he fought more of a battle than anybody that I ever know.
Oh, yeah.
And he didn't have to. That's what makes it so special. He didn't have to die for me. He didn't have to die for you. He would have been perfectly just in saying, let them go to hell.
Yep.
Said, I'm not doing this. But he fought for you and for me. And so, obviously, Moses bore a rod and he held that thing up. But Christ's rod looked a little different. And he bore that thing for you and I. And it was lifted up in a different way. And he had his arm stretched between it.
Yep.
And it was lifted. And that was depicting the battle that was being fought for you and me. And we find this, John chapter 19. Just so you know, he did carry it. John chapter 19, verse 16, it says, then delivered he them, therefore, unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. In verse 17, it says, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two other with him on either side, one and Jesus in the midst. So I find as Moses was there with the rod lifted, we see Jesus in the midst of two men with a rod lifted.
Yep.
Fighting a battle for you and for me.
Yep.
And that battle was for my sins, for your sins. That's a blessing, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Our Lord was a soldier, and he fought a good fight. If Paul fought a good fight, you better believe the Lord Jesus fought a good fight. And in fact, he won the battle. But Jesus himself foretold that this was going to have to happen in order for things to turn out the way they've turned out. He made it clear in John chapter 3 that he was going to have to be lifted up that way. He told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 14. John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus knew that there had to be some lifting done, some real heavy lifting. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll just keep reading because that's so good. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Because that's the only way you can be saved is through him. It says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so, if you're here this morning, you've never been saved, the Bible teaches us real plainly, You are condemned. The reason you're condemned is because you've not believed in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who fought the battle that we're talking about. He already fought it, and He already won it. And so what you're doing is fighting a battle that you don't have to fight. The problem is, if you keep fighting the battle you're fighting on your own, you're going to lose. The wages of sin is death. You're going to die. It's appointed unto men once to die. The problem is, if you die without Christ, you end up in hell.
That's right.
No help. No help at that point. But there's help right now. There's somebody who's already fought the battle for us, Jerry. That was the Lord Jesus. But this ain't the only place He told us this was going to happen. Look over in John chapter 12. John chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus speaking says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." This He said, what? Signifying what death He should die. So we know that when He said He had to be lifted up, He's referring to being lifted up on the cross. And so what we have is the rod lifting the rod, the in body, the Lord Jesus. The cross being the rod He carried, but at the same time it held the rod, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He was lifted up for you and I. All this to fight a battle for you and me. And obviously, number one, to please the Father. I don't want anybody to ever fail to remember that. He fought a battle that you and I couldn't fight. And so He was a soldier. And in the hands of the soldier, it deployed the best protection that you and I could ever get. He protected us from the second death through His death on the cross of Calvary. Folks, He's already fought it for us. And it's our responsibility to just trust what He's already done. I appreciate that battle. And so that's the soldier's rod. But it doesn't stop there. But in the hands of a soldier, it's one thing to fight a battle. But what happens when the soldiers win the battle? What do they become? No longer just soldiers. They become a Savior. And so, when He fought this battle and He won it, guess what He became to you and I?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
He went from soldier to Savior.
Hey.
And so, we see the rod of the Savior. I don't know, where are we at on times? You may know. Well, I guess we'll be done pretty much right there. But so He goes from soldier to Savior. We'll see that in the life of Moses. We'll see it in the life of the Lord Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Just a picture. One picture after another. Old Testament to New Testament. Let's not discount the old.
Right.
Tells us a whole lot about the new. Appreciate everybody's good attention. I know that was a little bit heavier.
Good,
but hey, it does us good to realize what Jesus did for us.
Yes.
And lest we ever forget. We don't want to forget what He did for us. I appreciate the fight that He's fought for us. All right, we'll have prayer for everybody back through there that wants to pray.